We're going to be taking our Bibles this morning, and for a text, I'm going to read from the book of Psalms. If you'll turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 9 and verse number 17. That'll be our text this morning, Psalm 9 and verse number 17. And I'd like to speak on this subject this morning. America, please don't forget God. America, please don't forget God. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 9, in verse number 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Pray with me, please. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the Word of God. Lord, the thought that you've burned in my heart and in my mind, it's certainly not an easy thought, Lord, to accept. It's not an easy thought to deliver. Lord, this morning, I pray that with great soberness, we would listen to the Word of God this morning. God, that we would be stirred. Lord, you said over there in the book of Isaiah, there was no man that stirreth up himself to take hold of God. God, we need to be stirred. We need to get a hold of God in this generation. Lord, we open the service with the song, Send the Light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak. Lord, may that still small voice this morning, Lord, be able to reason with us and help us. Lord, if there's someone in our midst that does not know the Lord, I pray they'd be stirred in their heart and challenged to receive you as their Savior today. Lord, I know that you did that for me one day, Lord, many years ago. I pray, God, you'll do it for others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll actually use my text verse in the second part of the message today. I want to use three verses in the message this morning where the Bible uses the little phrase, forget God. The message was birthed in my heart from Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I'm going to say some things this morning that might be offensive. But I guarantee you this, they're not meant to be offensive. I'm going to say some things from the Bible, from the Word of God, to let you know why that God has burdened our hearts with this message. Let me, in the onset of the message, say this. America's greatest danger is not ISIS. America's greatest danger is not climate change. America's greatest danger is not the Democrats, and it's not the Republicans, and it's not the independents. America's greatest danger is not Black Lives Matter. We may be on the verge of anarchy in America, but that is not America's greatest danger. America's greatest danger is not the national debt. It's not bankruptcy. Beloved, God sent me this way to tell you today our country's in danger of forgetting God. And America's greatest danger is that she would forget God. I'm going to make some statements today, and I hope and pray that they'll be received with the intent that they're given. I want to look at three areas today. The first area comes from Job 8, verse 13. The Bible said, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." There's a path that you can examine that will tell you whether a nation or an individual has forgotten God or not. I read this and I thought it was a good little statement. James Iredale, he was a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. He was the Attorney General of North Carolina, the U.S. Supreme Court Justice appointed by President George Washington. And I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. He said, "For my part, I am free and ready enough to declare that I think the Christian religion is a divine institution. And I pray to God that I may never forget the precepts of his religion or suffer the appearance of an inconsistency in my principles and practice." I'm going to tell you something this morning. There are some grave inconsistencies in the principles and practices of those that are naming the name of Christ and claiming to be a Christian in our land. You say, "Preacher, you're stirred up this morning." Yes, I am. I am. I'm very stirred up. I don't think the only time you ought to jerk a verse out of the Bible is when somebody gets killed. I think if a Bible's good enough to use at a funeral, it ought to be good enough to use, amen, as a groundwork for the foundation that our nation was founded upon. Something happened last week, and it troubled me greatly. At the RNC convention, there was not really an outward, but you could tell that they were endorsing the L, I don't even know how to remember it all, G, B, T, and then I never heard this till last week. There's a Q on the end of it. So I had to get on the internet and look up the Q to see what it meant, and it means questioning or queer. That's what it said on the internet. That's what it means. They come out, and when they said, "We're going to protect that community," there was a standing ovation in the Republican National Convention. I'm going to tell you something. Our nation is in danger of forgetting God. You say, "Preacher, I don't know why you would even mention that. Society's already accepted that. And we know that now drunkenness is accepted, adultery's accepted, sodomy's accepted. Why would you even mention that?" I'm going to tell you why. Because God in heaven has not accepted it, nor will he ever accept it. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that we stand in grave danger as a nation of forgetting God. I know this morning that I'm preaching to the cream of the crop, to Bible believers, to people that believe our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But also know this morning that if we're not careful, listen to me, especially our children, especially our young people, they'll get sucked into that thing of just saying, "Beloved, it's the way it is. It's the way it's going to be. And we just need to accept it." I'll tell you something. If we're not careful, we'll be walking in the same darkness if we get that frame of mind that they're walking in. You see, I believe that especially in our generation, that if you're going to preach against such things, that you better be careful. So let me just read a portion of Scripture. The Bible said, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Wherefore God also gave them up," this is Romans chapter 1, "to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." I was sitting in Sunday school, Brother John teaching us about prayer, when God put this passage of Scripture on my heart after he had given me an entire message on the danger of forgetting God. Now I want you to just listen to the verses. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they made a conscious choice one day. I'm going to forget God. Forget about what God said. Forget about the Bible. Forget about those preachers. Forget about those churches. Forget about George Washington. Forget about our founding fathers. Forget about Christianity. I'm going to forget God. They don't want Him in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do them, but they have pleasure in them that do the same. Some will tell you there's no pleasure in sin. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. Beloved, let me tell you this, the season is short. People are going to stand not before the Supreme Court of the United States of America, but before the Supreme Judge of the universe, the Lord God Almighty. And beloved, God has not changed His mind. The paths of those that forget God. Jeremiah 14:10 said, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus they have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sin. Because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths and in a way that is not cast up. You say, preacher, why do you want to walk in this way? Well, number one, because God told me to. He said, seek out the old path. And He said, when you find it, walk therein. Number two, because it's a proven path. I tell you what, Brother John, prayer still works. The Bible still works. The blood of Jesus Christ is still saving people from their sin and giving them a brand new life in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to stay in that way that works. Oh, you say, preacher, the modern way's working just fine. No, no, no. No. It's sending people by the multitudes to hell. Without God. Forget God. It's a path that leads away from the Bible. You see, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. My friend, listen, when you forget God, you go away from the Word of God. You go away from the Bible. The Bible said, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Proverbs 2 and verse number 13. John Adams said this. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was a judge, a diplomat. He was one of the signers of the Bill of Rights. He was the second president of the United States. He said the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believe and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence of the attributes of God. He said, without religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. I mean hell. That's what he said. The Christian religion is, above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. He said, I have examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. I say hallelujah. That was our second president. Preacher, what happens when people forget God? Well, they start down a path that goes away from the Bible. I looked this up because I didn't know. I knew there was a time when sodomy was illegal in the United States, and it was until 1961. It shouldn't surprise us what state became the first. Illinois became the first state to repeal their sodomy laws. And then in 1986, the Supreme Court ruled that nothing in the U.S. Constitution banned sodomy. That might be true. I'm not preaching the U.S. Constitution. I'm preaching the Word of the Living God. It's a path that leads away from the Bible. Brother Grizzle, I can close my eyes. I did last night. And I can hear him over the intercom in our elementary school in Bel Air, Maryland. Let's stand for the pledge to the flag of the United States of America. I pledge allegiance. Every classroom had a flag in it. Stand and pledge with me. Stand and pledge with me. Do you love America? Do you believe America's in danger of forgetting God? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I love our country. Our country is in danger of forgetting God. Listen to me this morning. Jedediah Morse, he was a historian of the American Revolution, an educator, the father of American geography. He was appointed by the Secretary of State to document the condition of the Indian affairs in his day. He said, to the kindly influences of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. All efforts made to destroy the foundations of our holy religion ultimately tend to the subversion also of our political freedom and happiness. In proportion as the genuine effects of Christianity are diminished in any nation, in the same proportion will the people of that nation recede from the blessings of genuine freedom. Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present republican forms of government and all the blessings which flow from them must fall with them. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Our history classes today will never mention these things. They'll never mention, beloved, that when it was talking about freedom of religion, it was talking about the freedom to worship the God of this Bible to the dictates of one's own heart. It wasn't talking about going to another book. Amen! And it's all been twisted up because man wants to forget God. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me tell you something about the ways of death that they all have in common. They all are outside of this Bible. Contrary to this Bible. Go against this Bible. And so it's a path that leads away from the Bible. Let me say secondly, it's a path that leads away from the brethren. The Bible said, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? I tell you, when people started forgetting God, when they started forgetting the house of God. When they started, my friend, listen, the bass boat was more important. Or the woods and the hills was more important. Or the home was more important than the house of God on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when you go away from God and forget God, that path will lead you away from the Bible, but it'll also lead you away from the brethren. First thing you know, all you'll see in the brethren is their faults. Honey, can I tell you something about the brethren? We've got them, don't we? But I tell you, you get your heart full of God, and you'll want to see something, Brother Ralph, besides somebody's faults when you see them. Amen. There'll be a love well up inside of you for God's people. And you'll have that attitude. I can't wait for Wednesday night. I can't wait for Sunday morning. Beloved, I don't dread it. I look forward to the house of God. Amen. It'll lead you away from the Bible, that path that forgets God. Leads you away from the brethren. The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I worked for a man in Abingdon, Virginia, helped him build a machine shop. Was wearing a white shirt and a tie and drumming up work when God called me to pastor my first church. I told him when I went to help him, I said, listen, I'll help you until God opens a door. I said, God put a call on my life, and I don't know when, and I don't know where, and I don't know how. But I said, God, one day will open a door. And I said, I'll help you till that day is over, till that day comes. And then my work here will be over. Anyway, I helped that man, and that man was on his way to church one morning with his wife over on the upper side of Abingdon, Virginia, going out towards Coburn. Out of Abingdon, Virginia. And his, he said that they were in the slow lane there, just making the speed limit, going towards church. And he said this guy came by him and passed them, pulling a really nice bass boat. He said his wife looked over at him and said, honey, I want you to look there. Somebody's taking their boat to church with them this morning. There might have been more boats that left the driveway this morning in Kingsport than Bibles. I'm not against the boat. But if you forget God, the boat will take you away from the brethren. If you forget God, it'll take you away from the Bible. The third thing I see here is it'll lead you away from the battle. You say, preacher, what do you mean? There are a lot of God's people that don't even know that there's a battle raging. Souls are in the balance. Brother John, you talked about that prayer closet this morning. What we're doing and when we go in there is we're putting up a fight. There's a battle raging. We're saying that the soul of my loved one, the soul of that young person, the soul, my friend, of that lost individual is worth my time, is worth my effort, approaching the throne of God. You say, preacher, where did this thought come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from David. Read your Bible. David got in trouble. Brother John was preaching on his repentance chapter this morning because, my friend, for a little period of time, he just forgot God. Instead of being on the battlefield where he was supposed to be, he was up on the roof taking it easy. And that's where most of God's people are today. He's taking it easy. After all, preacher, don't get all worked up. Don't get all tore up. I'm going to tell you something right now. If somebody don't stir themselves up to take a hold of God, I'm telling you, we're living in a nation that is forgetting God. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's what the Bible said. It's also a path, and then I'll move on to the second thing this morning. These second two will go a little quicker, I hope. But I intend by God's grace to finish this message this morning. It's also a path where the blind are leading the blind. I wonder, listen to me carefully. I wonder how many of God's people I'm talking about born again, heaven bound, Bible loving, go to church. I wonder how many of God's people could have sat and watched what I watched on Thursday night and never even picked up on what's going on. There, my friend, listen, I've been told this. I don't know this for a fact because I don't watch it. But they say every other television show now, I mean, it's adultery, it's divorce, it's fornication, it's a man with a man and a woman with a woman. Are you listening to me? It's all, and what they're trying to do is make it acceptable. But it'll never be acceptable with God. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. If you let your children watch that, this is free of charge. You are not doing them a service. You are doing them a disservice. They're spending more time with that away from the house of God than they are the training that they're getting in the house of God. It'll take over one day in their life if you're not careful. They'll say, Daddy, what's the preacher all tore up about? Beloved friend, right is right. This Bible, in the book of Malachi, God said, I am the Lord. I change not. Brother Joe, if it was wrong for me to steal from you when God said, thou shalt not steal, it's still wrong today for me to steal from you. Still wrong. This whole world system is designed to desensitize us from sin. You and I both know it. Listen, if you watch anything, if you watch the news, if you watch a football game, if you watch a golf tournament, you and I both know that the commercials are more vile than the average movie was 50 years ago. Desensitize the path where the blind are leading the blind. The Bible said, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. Let me give you this. Secondly, I see the paths of those that forget God. I see the promise to those that forget God. We dwell, and we should, as God's people, on the promises that He's made to us. Standing on the promises, Brother Thurman, that's a good place to stand. But God didn't just make His people some promises. God made some promises to them that forget God. Let me tell you something about God and His promises. He keeps them. God and His word. He keeps His word. He keeps His word. I was also disappointed last week. This is free. Won't charge you a dime for it. I was disappointed when one of our politicians, I believe a good man, did not do what he said he would do. If you're keeping up with things, you know what I just said. He didn't say he'd do it if somebody didn't hurt his feelings. He said he'd do it. You know what God's people ought to do? They ought to do what they said they'd do. If you're not keeping up, look it up. You'll get it. We ought to do what we say we'll do. The promise to them that fear God. You say, preacher, what is it? First of all, it's a promise of fire. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Can I tell you that this generation don't believe that hell is real? They don't believe it's a real fire. But God said, I promise you, you're headed for the fire if you forget God. I promise you. The Bible said it came to pass, the beggar died, carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, was buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. God has promised that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but them that forget God will end up in hell one day after a while. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. God never intended for people to go to hell. He intended for him to repent, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of fire. The Bible said where the worm dieth not. Mark 9:44. The fire is not quenched. Mark 9:46. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:48. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You say, preacher, why'd you read that verse three times? Because God put it in the Bible three times. Their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There are some today that are teaching that hell is annihilation. I'll guarantee you that hell is full of people that wish it were. It's a promise of fear. The Bible said in Psalm 9, verse 20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Proverbs 1:24, because I've called, ye refused. I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. You have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despise all of my reproof. Let me say it like this. They forgot God. They said, there it is. Forget that. We're living in a generation. It's not that they don't know the truth. They're apostates. They've turned from the truth. And willingly going their own way without God. Amen. Choosing to forget God. Choosing to forget God. The Bible said in Revelation 6:15, the kings of the earth and great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? It's a promise of fear. We've got these bumper stickers, these stickers in the back of the windows now everywhere. No fear. No fear. Honey, I tell you, the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You haven't even started to wise up until you fear God. This world, they can have their bumper stickers, but there's a day coming, God promised, you'll fear. God promised you'll be in the fire and you'll fear. Then the last thing about God's promise, that to those that forget God, it's a promise that's forever. In Matthew 25:41, the Bible said, then shall they say unto him, he said to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In Revelation 20 and verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what God said. My promise is forever. An individual that dies without God will forever be in the torment of a place called hell, in the presence of the beast and the false prophet and the devil. Let me give you this and I'm done. The plea to those that forget God. If God were here this morning, I believe he would beg you. He would plead with you. If you're not saved, I believe God would plead with you. If you're a Christian and you're asleep, I believe he would plead with you. He would say, wake up. Wake up. Some of you like me, we don't have much time left on this earth. What about our children? What about our grandchildren? The greatest hope we could have today is that the King would just come. And even at that, there'll be multitudes that won't be ready for his coming. It's a plea. What's the plea? The Bible said, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Well, I guarantee you won't hear that read in a modern pulpit today. There's a God that said, consider this, lest I tear you in pieces. Oh, no, we don't want to hear about that God. I tell you what, as long as I'm living and breathing and preaching, you're going to hear the whole counsel of God. You're going to hear that He loves you more than anybody could ever love you. He has mercy more than anybody could ever give. But I tell you, He's angry with the wicked every day. He hates sin. He's holy. I believe we ought to preach the whole counsel. The plea to those that forget God. He said, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Three things very quickly and I'm done. It's a plea, number one, to remember. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. I read this verse this morning again. And I listened to him. Listen, I'm just telling you where I stand. I don't believe America ought to deplete her military. I believe she ought to build it up. Well, let me say that again. That's not much reaction. I don't believe we ought to deplete our military. I don't believe we ought to have fewer ships than we've ever had. I don't believe we ought to have a smaller army than we ever had. I believe we ought to build up our military. But they're not trusting the military. That's what the Bible's saying right here. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What I'm trying to say is I believe in a military that's strong. I believe that, my friend, we can have peace through strength. But I do not believe we ought to trust in our might. We ought to trust in our God. There's a plea to remember. Deuteronomy 8:18 said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. I'm telling you, when a man's wealthy and a man is godly, he'll tell you where his wealth come from. It will not produce pride. It will produce humility. It is God that give us the power to do anything that we do. But when a man is without God, he doesn't even have to be wealthy. But I believe people forget who gave him the eyes, who gave him the mind, who gave him the hands, who gave him the feet. It's a plea. God said, remember, don't forget me, remember me. Brings to mind the verse, preached on it a while back, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Don't wait till you're up in years to remember God. Remember Him now. It's a plea to repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I could preach a message on repentance right there. I'm not going to. God is saying, I want you to remember. If you're in that path and you've forgotten God, He said, I want you to remember. Remember that one day, it may be in a nursing home. It may be in an ICU ward. It may be in an intersection with a bunch of steel wrapped around you and a piece of that steel stuck all the way through you. But one day, you're going to meet God one-on-one. Don't forget that. God said, remember that. Remember that. One day, it's just you and Him. Just you and Him. I thank God this morning. When Brother Johnny and Sister Hannah sang the song, that it's going to be all right when I stand before Him. Yes, I made a mess out of my life, but it's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed, is being changed, and thank God one day will be changed. I'll be in the very likeness of the Son of God. He'll change this vile body. It's a plea to remember, a plea to repent. It's a plea to be reconciled. God said, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. You may have come in today lost. Don't leave that way. Come. Let us reason together. God said, don't forget me. Don't go out here and forget me. Remember, you're going to meet me. What's going to make the difference, preacher? How could I go to heaven? I tell you how. You got to get ready. You got to be prepared. You got to know Jesus. You got to receive Jesus. You got to get sick of your sin. And you got to understand that God is making a plea. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let me tell you something. Brother Rose, a person that would choose any wicked lifestyle, whether it's the abominable the Bible talks about, or whether it's drunkenness, or whether it's drugs, or whether it's just being a good moral man and never going to the house of God, never picking up a Bible, I'm my own man, being eat up in your pride. Any wicked lifestyle, anybody that forgets God, let me ask you a question. Is that reasonable? Is it reasonable to trade? If I walk up to you and say, Brother Gale, what I have here is time, and I want to trade it for eternity. You going to trade me time for eternity? That's the stupidest trade you'd ever make in your life. Some of us in this room, we like to trade. Amen. And I always try, say amen, Bob, to get the best of the deal. I like to trade. But I'm going to tell you how foolish it would be to trade pleasure and sin for time, for an eternity without God in the region of the damned. How foolish would that be? The path. Brother Ralph, I meant to look it up and type out the, or copy and paste the words, but there's an old song. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Listen to this. The paths of sin too long. You know, when people come home to God, when they realize I've been in this path way too long. Too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. It's the most reasonable thing you'd ever do in your life is come home. Come to the Lord. Trust the Lord. He is the Savior. He loves you. But if you forget Him. My heart was broken last week. I can't read people's minds. I know a little bit now about the background. But a family got up and walked out of the church last Sunday morning. About 15 minutes into the message, preaching on the blood of Jesus. I'll say this morning, I'll say it without apology. My prayer is that somewhere in time they'll change their mind. But if they don't, could be that our Heavenly Father will take them right back and show them what they walked out on. The forgiveness that He offers. He's offering forgiveness this morning. If you'll just trust Him. America, please don't forget God. Children here this morning at Bible Way, please don't forget God. Don't forget God. You say, preacher, what do we do when we vote these days? What we've been doing for several days. The lesser of two evils. Isn't it sad that a nation the size of ours, we couldn't find somebody that would stand for something. That would stand with God. We need help. We need help. I don't know how and I don't know when. But I know this. America's gotten too big for her britches. How many knows what I just said? I believe God will smack her. I believe God will judge her for forgetting God. You might say, well, preacher, where will we be when that happens? I'll say this to you. Before the great tribulation, we'll be in heaven. But who are we, Brother Houston, that we couldn't go through some persecution like the early church did? That God couldn't do some weeding out? Say amen right there. When the rubber meets the road, I guarantee you there'll be some that'll run so fast. Be like Peter. Do you know him? Why, no, not me. I don't know him. Peter repented of that, didn't he? Thank God this morning. Let's pray. Father, as Brother Ralph and Sister Becky comes, we pray, God, you deal in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courage this morning to just come in this altar and cry out to God for our children, our grandchildren, for our country. America's in danger this morning, Lord, forgetting God. Lord, one of the reasons is so many quote-unquote churches have forgotten him. They're just like they were in the days of the Laodiceans. They're rich. They're increased with goods. They have need of nothing. Oh, God, I just want to say we need you. Lord, we've never needed you like we need you. I needed our home. I needed our life. I needed our church. I needed our community, Lord. And Lord, I do mean in our country. We need you. God, I do pray for the revival over at Oak Glen next week. Lord, I'd like to see revival break out somewhere. I've heard about it in North Carolina. I pray, God, that you would help us in our country. Maybe this morning, Lord, someone here doesn't know if they died today, they'd go to heaven. God, it's my prayer that they'd do the reasonable thing. They'd come to Jesus.